Open with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Like Ryan said, my dad's in Haiti, so hope everybody has a good day today. This is, as you're turning, this is one of those sermons that is kind of aimed at me. So as we get started, know that, you know, this is aimed at me as well. And so God's used these words to speak to me as I prepared. So read with me, if you will, Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. It says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing what you want to do." Will you pray with me? Father, as we turn to your word, just pray that you would open our eyes, Father, open our hearts, and open our ears to hear what you have to say. Just pray that you would guide us into your word, and just pray for understanding as we go forward and try to apply these words to our life. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. So these verses are talking about the battle between flesh and spirit and how they're against one another. They're versus one another. They're opposed, and so this is the spiritual war and the spiritual battle that we all face every day. Is it my will or is it the Father's will? Is it the ways of the world or is it the ways of the Word? And am I going to follow me or am I going to follow God? And so it wouldn't be, I don't think it would be Father's Day without a story about my father and I and the clash of wills we had called my teenage years. One day, I knew my dad would come home every day, lunch, 12 o'clock. I knew he was going to be home. This was the summer when I was, you know, a teenager, 12 or 13. I enjoyed sleeping until 1 or 2 in the afternoon if I could, but I knew that I better get up before he got home because that never made him happy when he was coming home on his lunch break and I was still in the bed. Not good. So I set my alarm for, you know, 11:55 so I could be up when he got home for lunch. And he tells the story this way. I don't remember it this way, but he tells it to where I was not fully dressed yet. He walks in the door from lunch, and I asked him what he was going to fix me for breakfast. Not good. All right. And so then he said it happened 2 days in a row. I don't remember that at all. But so needless to say, my will wasn't his will. His will wasn't my will. And then after that, I had a job. You know, shortly, a few weeks later, I had a little grass cutting business that kept me busy and got me up early. And so that was kind of the beginning of the clash that were my teenage years. But just like that, how Dad wanted one thing for me and I wanted one thing for me, and they're directly opposite. That's exactly what the word's saying when it says that the flesh and the spirit, the things of the flesh are directly opposite, the things of the flesh are directly opposite the things of God. And so it's the same thing in the battle that we all face. It says that the flesh and the spirit, they lust against one another. They both want what the other thing does not want you to have. The flesh wants what God doesn't want, and God does not want what the things of the flesh want. So if you're following God, you can't be following yourself. And if you're following yourself, you're not following God. They don't want the same things, and you can't have both. And I can tell you from my own involvement in the battle that when I was called to ministry, you know, that was a battle in and of itself to say yes, okay, God. But finally, you know, I wrestled with it, said yes, and then, you know, God further called me to youth ministry, and then that was more of a battle, and I said, you know, yes, okay, finally, after some wrestling and things. And then we've been involved in the spiritual battle that the youth faith, you know, Teresa and I, and then as well as Sunday school teachers and all the volunteers that are so faithful to help out, have said yes to that battle. And then every step that you take and say yes, okay, yes, Lord, it gets harder and harder as you go. And so we've been in the battle and seen teenagers, you know, seeing God save teenagers. We've been able to, you know, assist teenagers and walk through them through hard times. Not saying it's been perfect. There's ups and downs, as always, but we've been involved. You know, we've been involved in the battle. And so I could, the opposite of that is I could have said, you know, no thanks, God, that sounds hard, I'm out, I'm done. You know, I don't want, sounds too hard. And so not only has, you know, being involved in the battle, you know, helped some students, but it's helped me, you know. I think I've learned more than any student has combined through being involved with them and through teaching them. You know, when you're going to teach something, especially the Bible, you're going to spend the time to make sure you've got it right because you don't want to teach it the wrong way. So I've learned so much just doing that. And then, you know, past that, once you step into to the battle, you know, God will continue to work on you and say, all right, what about your motives? You know, why are you doing that? You know, are you teaching what you think they need to hear or what I want them to hear? You know, these events, are you planning the events for that are comfortable because you've always done them, or are these events, you know, what I want? And so it, with each step, the battle heats up. But God's been at work on me, you know, just in the process of being involved. But the opposite of that is just, you know, could have said no thanks, not interested. So that's kind of the battle that we all face. Are we going to be involved or not? You know, are we going to choose our will or God's? And it boils down to the question of what do we want more? Do we want God's will or do we want our own will? And this happens, this is where we all can say, yep, it's happening, because every time we turn on the TV, every time we open the computer, every time we open our mouth, you know, we have to choose, are we going to say the things that God wants, or are we going to say the things that are in here that maybe God doesn't want? And so the flesh wants to say one thing, but God wants you to say something else. And so there's that battle there. And it's happening not just inside, but outside, as our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends and our families are choosing, you know, their own will over God's. It's our job, you know, if we know it, to go out and tell them. And that's where it really, you know, really started working on me, was, you know, that's where I think I am in the battle right now with sharing my faith. You know, I don't always share it like I should. It's easy here, you know, because everybody's listening, everybody's paying attention, but, you know, out there, you know, not everybody cares. And so every time we have a conversation, everything we do or everything we don't do is that battle, my will or God's. And so the choice is God's glory or our own. So kind of calling this the war of wills. You know, it's our will versus God's will. Which one will we choose? You know, and how do we do that? And, you know, maybe what is God's will? And that's kind of the questions we're going to look at is what is God's will, and then how do I choose it? And so the first thing that you have to do is you have to know it. And I know that's kind of obvious, but you can't possibly choose it if you don't know it, if you don't know God's will. And the best way to do that is to read it. And so I know that you don't need me up here to tell you what God's will is for your life. You know, you don't even have to be a believer to be able to open the Word and find out what God's will for your life is. So it's right here for us. So not knowing it is not really an excuse. You know, all you have to do is read it, and you can kind of read it all. You can read the whole thing before you sign up and say, yes, Lord. You know, there's no fine print, really. So just a quick search for verses that contain God's will. You know, these are just a few of them. And it says, it's God's will that you give thanks in all circumstances. It's God's will that you be sanctified, clean, and abstain from sexual immorality. It's God's will that by doing good you silence ignorant talk of foolish men. And it's God's will that you act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And there's many more. That's just a handful of them. And in Psalms it says that, I delight to do your will, O God, your law is within my heart. So if it's not in your heart, it's going to be impossible to choose it in the moment, in that moment of decision. And so now I want to back up and kind of look at big picture of God's will. That's kind of the inward struggle. So these are more big picture, and this kind of gets to the heart of the message. And it says, it's 2 Peter 3:9, it's God's will that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. And it's also God's will that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so it's, as we look at examples of God's will and how to do it, there's nowhere else to look than the life of Jesus. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." So Jesus got his nourishment from doing God's will. You know, we look to other places sometimes. And so it was, Jesus knew his purpose, and his purpose was so much to do the will of God that he says, that's where my food comes from. That's where my nourishment comes from. He had very singular purpose, and that was to do God's will. And he only came for one reason. And so if he came to do the Father's will, and he says over and over again throughout Scripture, he says, I didn't come to do my own will, but the Father's. You know, what is the Father's will? And then this is also the choice in the battle that we all take part in. This is kind of a key verse. John 6:40 says, "For it is the will of my Father that everyone who looks on the Son of God and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." I'm going to read that one more time. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day." So that's the big picture of God's will for our life. You know, it's his will that we all know him. It's his will that we all come to the knowledge of the truth. It's his will that we all come to repentance. And it's his will that we all be saved. And you can read about all that, and you can know all that just from reading the Bible. And so that's where it starts to get exciting for both believers and non-believers. For the unbeliever, you know, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to repentance. He wants you to spend eternity with him. And then for the believer, you know, from that verse, John 6:40, he wants all of your friends and all of your family to know the truth and to come to repentance. And so to the unbeliever, you know, do you want to be a part? That's the challenge for you. And then for the believer, you know, will we play a part in carrying that out and taking it out into the all that are all around us? So, you know, all friends, family, and community, you know, somebody's got to tell them. And that's where I'm challenged by this. You know, if God's will is that everyone come to know him, well, somebody's got to go tell all those everyones. And so where I'm caught in the battle is in sharing my faith outside of the youth room and right here, because it's easy here, but it's that battle. You know, who am I going to listen to? So that's kind of where I'm at in the war of wills. But I can read it right there, and I can know what his will is. And so being saved requires you to lay your will down and surrender in that war. And you end up at a place of not my will but yours. And then you live according to his word and not yours. And so the flip side of that, that's kind of the God's will, all right? And then the other side of that is our own will. And the Bible has this to say, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to him, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And so that at the end there, that "you who practice lawlessness," that's sin, and that's our own will. So the people that continue and never turn from their own will, you know, he'll say in the end, "I never knew you. Depart from me." So I went to church, but he never knew you. He doesn't know you. And so he'll say, "Depart from me," and that's a place called hell of eternal punishment, separated from God. And so we all start there. We all start out in lawlessness. The only way to get out of that is Jesus. And so look a little bit at the beginning of that verse. I want to see if you caught it. It says, "But he," well, "not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." So it's important to do the will of your Father, because he says those are the ones that will enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's very important. It's very important that we read it and that we know it. Because again, you can't possibly choose it if you don't know it and if you don't read it. But so knowing it, that's the easy part. All right, that was the easy one. Choosing it is something completely different. And so for the next little bit, we're going to look at how do we choose it? And Scripture tells us. And so, as we think about the battle, the choice, your will or God's will, the first key is to offer yourself. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove in what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So our lives should be an offering to God. As in, here I am, send me. The answer has to be yes, no matter what the cost is. And we have to offer ourselves to Him to use as He sees fit, and as He directs, and not as we see fit. I was one of those that I prayed, God, show me your will. God, show me your will. God, show me your will. And He showed me, and I was like, wait a minute. Whoa, that's a lot. So it shouldn't be, God, show me your will. It should be, God, your will be done, not mine. And not, show me your will, and I'll think about it, I'll weigh it out, I'll see if that fits. It's to offering is a one-time, you offer it and it's gone. There's no taking back in an offering. And so it's not really God's will if you end up saying, let me see if that fits. That's the battle of your will. So it's to be committed instead of being committed to find out and then make sure it fits with you. So to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. And again, this is the example of Jesus' life and how He offered Himself. And He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd. Who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them, but he flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. So his life, he said, my life is on the line for the sheep. He didn't ask what was coming to get the sheep. What might happen, God? No, my life is on the line. I'm with the sheep, and I'm here to protect them. I'm not leaving, and I'm staying no matter what comes. And that's kind of the idea of the commitment that we should have. So the answer should be yes, before the question is asked, if it's a true offering. And so Jesus says, compares himself to the shepherd. The hired hand's going to run because he doesn't care about the sheep. But Jesus says, these are my sheep. I give myself, I lay my life down for the sheep. And that's the same thing that we're to do for him in following him. And so to offer yourself is the key. So in order, you have to read his will. And as you read it, you'll see it and you'll know what to do. But then the next step is to offer yourself. And so going back to Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't look just like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the word. And then you will know what's the good and perfect will of God. So it's kind of that process. And notice that offer comes first. It comes before knowing what it is. You offer yourself. Then you read some more of the word in your mind. He takes you into that place where in the middle of his will, and then you know his will, not the other way around. So once you offer yourself, once you read it, once you know it, and then once you offer yourself, the battle heats up again. And so now it gets down to, okay, yes, I read it, I know it. I've offered myself, will I follow through? And that's where it really gets hard, and this is where the next kind of key to doing his will comes in, and that's to deny yourself. John 6:38 says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And if you notice in the Bible, it never talks about Jesus' hobbies. Never talk about him going and doing what he wanted to do, vacations or anything else. It was always, just missions, just out doing the Father's will. He didn't talk about very much else. So that's the battle that we face between ourselves and doing what we want to do and actually denying ourselves some of the things that are taking us away from that. So really what I wanted to say here is that the cost of choosing his will, you know, it can be high. So what's it costing you? You know, is it costing you anything? Is it costing me anything? Or what could I give up to further do what I'm supposed to do for him? You know, if you look at the disciples, they walked away from their jobs and their houses and all their comforts, and most of them eventually lost their lives for the gospel. But we are comfortable, and so sometimes those desires that we have to deny are not always such bad things. Sometimes they're not the big sin. Sometimes it's being comfortable in the life that we have of ease. You know, we're not comfortable outside our comfort zones, right? We don't want to step out because we're comfortable. And so God's will is not always the easy thing to do. And sometimes it can be busyness. You know, sometimes we think we don't have time, but the correct statement is, you know, it's not a priority. We don't make time. And so maybe you can deny yourself a couple of these things, or a half hour here or an hour there, to focus on God's will. You know, and again, that hit me, you know, right where it hurts about, well, if you can watch TV, you know, how can you say I don't have time to blank, you know? So the call is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So it's not even really about what I want. And so the call is to deny yourself some of those things in order that you can do the Father's will. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So people shouldn't see Jacob Walker. They should see Jesus. You know, they should see his desires and not Jacob Walker's desires. You know, my will should be no more. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, all the things that are of the flesh, and then the passions and the things that we naturally want, you know, those who belong to Christ, it says, have crucified those and put those away in order that we can walk further into his will. Matthew 6:10 says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so it shouldn't be about our will at all, but about his will. And what's his will for us? To sum it up, 1 John 2:16 and 17 says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions is not from the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away with all its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. So all those desires that we all naturally have, and all the desires of the things that we see, you know, all that we want, and the pride and possessions, where we put our hope in heaven, the things of this world, he says, is not from the Father, but it's of the world. And then he goes on to say, this world is passing away along with all of its desires. So all those things that we see, that we want, that we're kind of enticed by, you know, it's all coming to an end. But he closes with, whoever does the will of God abides forever. So that tells us where our time should be. That tells us where our focus should be, on finding God's will for our life. And if that means making time and cutting something away, you know, that's what Jesus did. He found time to do hardly anything else. So we can look to the example of Jesus to do that. So just to kind of sum one final look at the life of Jesus, as far as denying yourself, Luke 22 verses 41 and 42 says, he was withdrawn about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So this is when Jesus was facing the cross, and he was grieved deeply. And it says that he went away, you know, three different times and prayed, you know, Father, if this is your will, take it from me. You know, take this cup from me. I don't want to do it, but not my will, but yours. You know, and it said that the last time that he was so grieved that he sweat drops of blood, you know, that I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Don't make me do it. But amazingly, you know, he ends with, not my will, but yours. And so in Isaiah, it says that it was the Father's will to crush him, for him to be the guilt offering of our sins. And so even if it meant the cross, which was horrible, Jesus said, okay, not my will, but yours. So, Ryan, is you can come. Why did Jesus do that? You know, why was he willing to give up himself so that, you know, even in the face of the cross, he gave it up so that no one should perish? You know, going back to John, you know, it was his Father's will that all should know him and that all should come to repentance. And so Jesus knew that he was the only way. And so that was the only way for him to make a way for us to the Father. So Jesus knew that was the Father's will. Jesus offered himself, said, here I am, you know, and then ultimately denied himself life to give it up for the Father's will. You know, so ultimately he surrendered himself for us, you know, and the call to us is the same, to lay down our own will for his will, and when we do that, he gets the glory. And so for the non-believer, you know, you're not so sure about all this stuff, you know, the call is Jesus wants you, God wants you in a relationship with him. You know, he wants you to repent. It's his will that all should come to know him, that you deny yourself, and that you do his will, and that you eventually live with him in eternity. And then for the believer, you know, will we play our parts? You know, again, it's his will that all should come to repentance, that all should know him. You know, are we willing to go tell all those everyone's, you know, that they should, that God wants them, God wants to know them. He wants them to come to repentance. He wants them to spend eternity with him. So in the, you know, it's really a battle. It's really a fight if we're going to go do that. And you choose, it's every day. It's nonstop. You know, the devil's not going to let you have it. And so I think in the end, you know, read his will, offer yourself, and then deny yourself. And then that's what Jesus did. You can look at that. And then at the end, where we end up is that our prayer would be, not my will, but yours. You know, no matter what the cost, just like Jesus said, not my will, but yours.
At this time, let's all stand.